Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and as usual, every Monday, we talk a little bit about Texas wheat with Ms. Steely Fischbacher, Director of Policy at Texas Wheat. How are you doing today, Ms. Steely?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Of course, it's always a pleasure to talk a little bit about wheat and the panhandle. And I know right now, wheat is a hot commodity. We are starting some harvest, or some people are about to start harvesting. How is that looking for us?
Yeah, that's right. We've finally kind of reached the panhandle area in terms of harvest. We've been harvesting for more than a month now across various regions of the state. What it looks like up here is obviously, as we've discussed throughout the year, is just this crop has been hammered by drought throughout the growing season. So early reports of dryland yields are coming in around 10 bushels. A lot of those farmers are hoping to save that seed for planting in the fall from the conversations that we're having. In terms of test weight, so far we've kind of averaged 58 to 60, which is pretty good. And then our protein levels have been high. Most of the time we'll see higher protein levels when we've had a drought-stressed crop. So that's kind of coming out of the field as expected. We are expecting to get into more of our irrigated acres over the weekend and into this week. So that will be higher yields, but again, those will be lower than the average just based on the conditions that we've seen across most of our area. Also, you know, we've had some severe weather over the past couple of weeks. We've lost some wheat fields to hail damage or had, you know, some yield potential impacted by hail damage over the course of the season. So we're seeing that in some of those fields. If any of your listeners were able to either get out to the Bushland Field Day and see those variety trials, or if they just heard about some of the reports from that event, they were harvesting those plots last week. So here in the coming weeks, we'll start to see the yield data. They have both dry land and irrigated trials there at Bushland and in other locations in the Panhandle. So we should start seeing the yield data come out from that in the coming weeks, which will be very good information.
Yeah, and for those who did get to go out to Bushland, it was a really cool experience to see some of the varieties that they've made. And hopefully some of those data reports that will come out pretty soon later on, hopefully shed some light on the next years to come when we're planting wheat, especially since that's a huge thing we plant up here. But another thing that, you know, we have to look at is insurance for some of these crops. You know, we go through different weather from Mother Nature that we can't control. And you never know what the year is going to throw out for you. And I know that wheat's got some new insurance ideas and some solutions coming up.
That's right. There's a couple of things that we're watching very closely right now related to wheat insurance. One of those is that we are in the harvest price reporting period for our wheat insurance. So this crop that's being harvested right now, if you have a revenue policy on that crop, we know what the base price coming into the season was. That was $7.08 a bushel. And now we're in that harvest price setting period. The last I looked at the end of last week, we were about $11.47. So very close to $11.50 there for our harvest price. That should allow these farmers who have these lower yields, or even farmers who had to release those acres and they weren't harvested for grain, if they have these revenue policies, that should allow for some compensation for what they lost in yield and not being able to take advantage of the price market where it is right now. We're in a level of very favorable prices. In fact, I was looking at some data over the last week. There's been kind of in the last few years, there's been three time periods where we had sustained wheat prices above $8. And that was 2007, 2012, and now 2022. We are now at, you know, reaching those levels of sustained prices above $8. But what we see historically is that that just doesn't last that long. We do still have some very bullish items in the wheat market that will continue to lend support to that price. USDA has forecast next marketing year average price above $10. That is a record-setting, you know, season average forecast that they've made at this point in the year. So we do tend to expect those prices to stay at elevated levels. But again, historically, we know that that won't last. So kind of making that marketing decision and seeing where this crop insurance harvest price comes in is going to be very important to those farmers who had insured acres. At the same time, it's never too early to start talking about next year. You mentioned that, and some of the variety trial data that we'll get, that will be important considerations for planning for next year. But also, what type of insurance do you want to have? And one of the newer items, it's not new this year, but it is newer to farmers, is the annual forage policy and being able to pair that with their traditional multi-peril wheat. They do have that option. The deadline for purchasing an annual forage policy is July 15th. So that's coming up much quicker than our typical wheat insurance policy deadline, which is September 30th. So that's something just to remind growers that if they are interested, to be looking at that. Again, so that is a rainfall index, this annual forage policy. So it just looks at, what would you typically get in your region for rainfall in a designated time period, and then what did you actually get? And if you don't get kind of that insured level, then you would get a payment under this program. And so that is something that for dual-use growers who are wanting to graze wheat, have that forage, and then go to grain, pairing that with a multi-peril policy is something that's relatively new and something that, just look at if you're interested in trying to enhance your insurance coverage, especially on the forage portion of what you're growing out there. We did get a season average forecast update from USDA, and it looks like for Texas, they are expecting our drought to persist. So that is something to keep in mind when you're considering, this is rainfall, so do I want to cover that rainfall and that forage potential through some type of insurance? And if you're interested, the main recommendation is just to talk to your crop insurance agent about pairing this annual forage with your multi-peril policy for grain.
Well, and, talking about insurance a little bit, the Farm Bill plays a huge aspect besides, nutrition. A lot of funding goes towards crop insurance programs. What are you expecting to kind of see out of the next 2023 Farm Bill for insurance purposes for producers out there of wheat?
That's a very good question. And that's a question that we've been trying to, make an impact on that conversation through the National Association of Wheat Growers. Over the past couple of weeks, they have held, they first put out a Farm Bill survey, reaching out for information and opinions and views from farmers. And now they've been going through those results and trying to figure out what are our main asks, what are the problems that our farmers encounter and what should we be working on to improve in the next Farm Bill. And part of that conversation, as you mentioned, is what type of insurance benefits can we secure? What type of, defense mechanisms do we need to develop to try to protect what we have in the insurance program, in addition to trying to make improvements? Part of that, you take into account, what is the public support for these programs? And there was a recent survey of consumers that showed that, there's a very high level of public support for farm policy. Specifically, a lot of support, almost 80% of the respondents of this survey said that they supported assistance for farmers after natural disasters impact their crops. That right there is, a good indication of support for crop insurance, because that's when crop insurance steps in. It's whenever you've had some type of yield or price loss, particularly for those revenue policies we were discussing. Also, 73% specifically said that they would support assistance for farmers to make crop insurance more affordable. That tells me there is a wide level of support among U.S. citizens for crop insurance. That's something that we tend to battle back and forth on in Congress at times. We see a lot of amendments put forward that would be harmful to crop insurance, that would make it less affordable. And so to have this information in our pocket where we can point to this survey that shows the 73% support affordable and making it even more affordable for our growers, I think is really important and will be used very heavily whenever we start, these Farm Bill conversations. Again, one more bullet point I'll point out here, 70% supported, supporting farmers to make sustainable practices on their farms through financial means. So those are kind of some of the key levels of support. There were other factors there that were rated, around the 50% level, so still almost at majority level of support. But these three, you know, were the strongest in terms of where they thought they would support financial assistance to farmers. So really good information there. Pair that along with the work that we're doing at Texas Wheat Producers Association and the National Association of Wheat Growers to determine what exactly our needs are, and pair this information here that would help us support those things. So that's kind of what's been going on the last few weeks in terms of our internal conversations about Farm Bill. In the last week, we've seen a few announcements from the House Ag Committee announcing a couple more listening sessions, Farm Bill listening sessions, one in Arizona and one in California. So those are ongoing. Just kind of speeds up this process where we're all thinking about, talking about what will be happening in the next Farm Bill. What does our level of farm support need to be? And we will continue to be engaged in that conversation.
Well, that's a good point you brought up. I just came back from RMC, or the Reciprocal Meat Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, and how influential we need to listen to the consumers' aspects of what we should do as producers and what they want to see out in the grocery store. So I'm happy to see that National Wheat and the USDA are trying to figure out ways to listen to the consumer and figure out a solution to the problems that we face.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Ms. Steele, if somebody has a question about Texas wheat, how can they get a hold of you?
I always point people to our website, texaswheat.org. We also have been posting frequent harvest updates. If anybody's interested in following the Texas harvest, those are on there, as well as all of our contact information.
Well, again, Ms. Steele, it's always a pleasure to talk with you every Monday, a little bit about what's happening in the wheat industry here in Texas and in the nation. Well, that's it from us here at the KGNC Studios. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your Monday.